This is John Davison, and you're listening to Yes Music Podcast.
Welcome to episode 40 of the Yes Music Podcast, one fan's exploration of the world's greatest progressive rock band. I'm your host, Kevin Mulrine. Please remember how you can get involved with the podcast on the site www.yesmusicpodcast.com, where you can subscribe via RSS, via iTunes, via email to the blog posts and episode updates. You can read and then comment on show notes or blog posts. You can follow the show via Twitter, at Yes Music Podcast, or send an email to show@yesmusicpodcast.com. You can upload a file via the link on the right-hand side, or leave a voice message in two ways and appear on the show yourself. Firstly, by calling 0844-579-6949 using the mailbox number 39417, or by recording a voice message straight onto the website using the record a message button on the extreme right-hand side. If you have a smartphone, you can download the free Stitcher.com app and listen that way. And if you have an Apple mobile device, you can now subscribe directly from the new Podcasts app without having to go through iTunes, which will make the whole process much easier, I understand. This week I'm returning once again to some fascinating Yes rarities. This time they're from my Father's Day present, The Word Is Live. This 3D set includes archive live recordings of the band from 1970 to 1988, and so spans a huge number of changes in both style and personnel. The package itself is in a similar book-like format to the Inner Word Yes collection, but that set included 5 CDs and is significantly taller. The Word Is Live came out in 2005 and features traditional Roger Dean cover art. To be honest, it's not one of my favourite Yes covers. The logo and lettering are beautiful as always, and the mountainside depicted on the back is great, but the portion of the painting which appears on the front is less striking than usual. The floating rock motif makes an appearance, but the way the image has been cropped makes the overall impression a bit vague. I can't really tell what it's supposed to be until I physically turn the set over. However, the integrated booklet inside runs to almost 60 pages of the most sumptuous sleeve notes you will find anywhere. The archive photos are fantastic, but what sets this apart is the quality of the words. There are significant contributions from well-known Yes authorities, like Mike Tiano, Bill Martin, the Gottlieb Brothers, Brian Ives and Tim Jones, but there are also quotations from some pretty stellar rock performers and a brilliant, intelligent and respectful piece, which starts the booklet off from Greg Lake of ELP, in case you somehow didn't recognise the name. The collection is probably worth buying just for these extensive sleeve notes. It's another reminder that digital downloads have their place, but certainly in progressive rock you may be missing out if you aren't able to, or aren't willing, to search out the physical objects. Finally, before I get into the music itself, I was highly amused by the plastic tag, which was fixed to the front of the package. It came off with a shrink wrap, but I made sure I held onto it, and I've put a couple of photos of it in the show notes for this episode. Do take a look, as it's clearly been designed by a true Yes fan to look like a spoof concert ticket. See if you can spot all the Yes references. So now it's definitely time to take a listen to the music. Only 2 of the tracks were previously released, and these are the first 2 on disc 1, Then and For Everyone, which are from the BBC sessions of 1970. The unique track on this disc, however, is It's Love, from a Crystal Palace Bowl concert of July 1971. Steve Howe has taken over from Peter Banks by this time, and this song is another cover version, but not one I'd heard before. The original was a B-side by the Young Rascals, featuring a solo flute, but as you'd expect, it's given the full Yes treatment here. I've put a link to the original in the show notes. Amusingly, John Anderson introduces the song, saying that they only have time for a shorty, a quickie. Looking at the timing information, Mr. Anderson's idea of a quickie appears to be 11 minutes and 7 seconds. He also points out that it's raining and encourages the crowd to shuffle about, boogaloo, do the twist, or whatever. He clearly intends this to be a fun, danceable song. We shall see. Bill Bruford has already started to fiddle around during the introduction. Anderson explains that this tune has been with the band since they started, the massive period of over 2 years, which seems so insignificant now, more than 40 years later. Squire starts with a sound which is remarkable even for him. It's closer to what you'd expect from an amplifier and full of treble. Steve Howe also chimes in, adding his line into a highly improvised sounding opening, closer to a nebulous jam session than anything else. Once again, I'm struck by the confidence of the band, even at this early stage. A groove is set up with Howe soloing on top of a surprisingly heavy and rocky accompaniment. Suddenly, the Hammond of Tony Kaye kicks in as Anderson begins the low, almost sultry vocal line. The music then really takes off with huge energy from all the musicians. The backing vocals answer Anderson's phrases in the chorus with musical exclamations, and it's tremendously exciting, with high-octane accompaniment, particularly in the rhythm section. There are fragmented short segments of Howe soloing interspersed with stripped-down vocal sections, leading into a more chorus excitement. Squire launches into a frighteningly fast solo with repeated notes which develops into an extended working through of the material, as only he can manage. It's bluesy in places, and is that choir himself singing, in unison with his lead bass part. It's an unusual and fabulous section, proving, as if proof were needed, that Squire's virtuosity has the ability to astound. It's a bewildering trip, typifying the band at this time with its relentless creativity and drive. I find it incredible that I'm still discovering pieces of Yes, which have the ability to change my perception of the band at different stages in their development. But here we are again. I think it's Squire once again who takes up the vocals alongside his bass and riffs around some lyrics quite brilliantly, and at times very high in his vocal range as well. Excuse me if I've got it wrong, but it really doesn't sound like Anderson's vocals. I'm sure you'll let me know. I've re-listened to this track many times now, and certainly it gets better every time. If you haven't heard it, you are really missing out on a crucial Yes rarity. I'm running out of superlatives to describe this performance. It completely takes the breath away, to a similar extent as anything from years later. Whenever I see black and white footage of Hendrix, the Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin and a few others, I marvel at the direct, powerful, visceral performances which paved the way for a lot of popular music up until today. When I listen to these early recordings of Yes, I wonder why they are not as celebrated by the general population of music lovers. Is it just about publicity? The first track on disc 2 is intriguingly entitled Apocalypse. We have skipped forward to Detroit in 1976, and the band now comprises of Anderson, Howe, Mraz, Squire, and White. In the disc swap, we have also entered a completely different Yes soundscape. Apocalypse turns out to be less apocalyptic than you might have hoped. It's 3 minutes and 8 seconds of atmospheric oral painting by the band before they launch into Siberian Katru. It includes echoes of familiar musical elements, particularly in the Mraz keyboard parts and pedal steel. There are fragments of melody, crescendos and diminuendos of percussion, and eventually the big theme from And You and I, which segues into the rousing opening guitar work of Siberian Katru, which is the next track on disc 2. Apocalypse is a pleasing little introduction, which is constructed and performed in the usual grand, if not grandiose, style of the band. While not an essential piece of listening, it's nonetheless a worthwhile addition to this collection. While it doesn't include any unique material, it's definitely worth taking a listen to the big medley, if only to see how the band manages to move between the different songs which are included. This recording comes from the Forum, Inglewood, in October 1978, and we return to Rick Wakeman on keyboards. Time and a Word has the by now customary Wakeman and Howe treatment, which I like a lot. It's literally a blend of original Yes with some much more laid-back and bluesy-feeling parts. It doesn't tend towards MOR at all. It's a lovely mix of intricately worked individual parts. You could argue that Alan White's trashy, in the sense of the quality of the sound of the cymbals, accompaniment is a little out of character with the rest, but this doesn't harm a sublime performance for me. Howe's solo combines his usual fast-moving running parts with Wakeman's exquisite counter-melodies, and suddenly the mood shifts as the long-distance runaround riff begins without warning. It's a fun and exciting change, with Howe and Wakeman perfectly matched, and Squire bringing in his uniquely crafted and beautifully executed line. There are a few extra flourishes thrown in for good measure, and once again the hairs stand up on the back of my neck as the virtuosity and synchronicity of the musicians bursts forth from the speakers. Anderson is at ease and leads from the front, as you would expect. Howe then takes us on a delay-infused tonal journey to link to the middle section of the piece. Squire is in contemplative mood with his solo initially, but gradually increases the tension, volume, complexity, and sense of awe and wonder in the rapt audience. He glides and swoops, he plays blisteringly fast repeated notes, and ranges around the instrument at times like some kind of wild dervish. Finally, we recognize the theme and head into Anderson declaiming the opening words of Survival in semi-improvisatory style, high above the percussion and other accompaniment. It's a heady mix of textures and feels. I'm getting a bit lost in all the references to different tracks and periods of Yes history. All I can say for certain is that this is one of the most amazing pieces of extended rearrangement I've ever heard. I shouldn't be surprised. After all, we are talking about Yes here. Suddenly I realise that that's all we're going to get of Survival, and the next track, The Fish, was also woven deeply into this fabulous work of art, rather than being set out as a musical exhibit. This is made clear when we hear Perpetual Change emerging from the brew. Howe's solos are disappointingly low in the mix, but Anderson sings the main theme in wonderfully free and cheerful fashion, above Wakeman clearly enjoying himself adding more elaborated parts than in the original. The fast passage is there at full tempo, which is very exciting, and I'm wondering how they're going to get into Soon from this. In fact, it's affected with a subtle key change, and Howe launching into the axe-wielding solo from The Gates of Delirium. It's interesting to note that the track is down simply as Soon on the sleeve notes. Howe is at his stunning best here, note perfect and soaring like a huge winged creature in a Roger Dean sky. The mood is carefully and skillfully taken downwards as Anderson appears with his acoustic guitar to accompany Howe's slide guitar, and the remarkable medley continues. If you take a moment to think what has gone before this point, you get an idea of the staggering achievement of creating this smorgasbord of progressive Yes treats. Soon is simply and beautifully performed, an oasis of rest after the complexity and imaginative breadth of the preceding 20 minutes of music. A wholly immersive and life-affirming trip. Pure, unadulterated prog genius. Through the wonders of technology, we then immediately jump a year, and the band kick off a rock and roll groove, with Anderson greeting the 1979 Chicago crowd and thanking them for coming to see Yes in a tuneful and playful little song. To be honest, I think John Anderson may be the only singer who could have pulled off this without sounding twee and contrived. In fact, it just makes you smile broadly. His personality and presence are so engaging, peace and love seem to flow out of him when he's on stage. Hello Chicago is a mix of 12-bar blues and spangly Wakeman keyboard, including just a second of the show tune Chicago and a cheesy ending in typical Wakeman humorous style. So now we move on to disc 3 and a very different era of the band's history. Go Through This was written, like Fly From Here, for the drama album, but not recorded. Here we have Trevor Horn, Steve Howe, Alan White, Jeff Downs and Chris Squire playing it live at Madison Square Garden in 1980. Wow, this is the first time I've ever heard this song. I have heard the instrumental version from the remastered drama CD where it was called Have We Really Got to Go Through This, but I've never heard this proper version before. Trevor Horn introduces the track saying it features Steve Howe. It certainly is a different style to the rest of drama, a straight-ahead rock-pop song with an ascending guitar hook and Trevor Horn's fun-filled up-tempo vocals. There are a few echoes of Bugles chord sequences, particularly influenced by Downs, and a slightly nebulous middle section with some guitar experimentation. At times it sounds like a blend of Queen B-side, cleaned-up punk, and 80s pop. It's definitely a good song, and very enjoyable, but does it have any business on a Yes record? Probably not. I am glad it's included here, though. So now, perhaps the main event, or one of them at least, the original We Can Fly From Here. Sadly, there's some feedback on the recording which buzzes annoyingly. Trevor Horn isn't actually as good as Benoit David, which is surprising. This version is pretty close to the 2011 recording, apart from a few changes in guitar textures. Listening to it now with the benefit of hindsight, it's surprising that it was never recorded at the time. It feels like a finished piece of work. Maybe if the lineup had recorded a second album, this would have made up the bulk of it. It's great to hear Squire holding his own on vocal duty, and I really enjoy the recording, despite it hardly being a quality one. Again, it's not the same style as the rest of drama, but it seems to work very well live, definitely rehearsed and ready for an audience. There's great Howe soloing and full commitment from all the band. It's great stuff. And now for something completely different. We travel forward 8 years, picking up Trevor Rabin and dropping off Steve Howe on the way to Houston in 1988. And arguably simultaneously back in time to collect Tony Kaye to replace Jeff Downs on keyboards. The last semi-unique track on the three-disc collection is Make It Easy, a version of which I mentioned as one of the bonus tracks on the remastered 90125 recently. This is the song which began as a Trevor Rabin composition, passed through Cinema, the proto-Yes collective, and eventually was performed by Yes Live, as we have here, as an introduction to, or a taster, before owner of any track fragment, perfect for the huge stadiums the band performed in at the time, with Rabin and Kay playing the complicated fast theme in unison, and everything cutting off before the opening chords of Owner send the crowd wild in recognition. Good to have a record of the theatrics here. So, overall then, I could fill several episodes with the content of this amazing boxed set. There's so much to enjoy from the years featured. Can there be any other band with so wide a range of live styles, modes and moods? Any other band which can span not only the years in live output, but also remain flexible and agile enough to appeal to both old and new fans? I know they will never be able to satisfy everyone all the time, but as we can see in this boxed set, no one will ever be able to take away their legacy of consistently delighting audiences across the world. Whatever you think about the current lineup, one thing is absolutely certain. The world will be a much poorer place when Yes no longer play live. Thank goodness we have collections like The Word Is Live to remind us why we need to keep supporting the greatest progressive rock band in the world, and of all time. So that's about it for this week. Thanks so much for listening. In the meantime, please get involved by leaving a comment on the blog, yesmusicpodcast.com, sending a tweet or direct message to @yesmusicpodcast on Twitter, sending an email to show@yesmusicpodcast.com, uploading a file or recording a voice message via the buttons on the site, or by leaving a voicemail on 0844 579 6949 using the mailbox number 39417. So until next week, just remember, whatever your progressive rock question, the answer is yes.